Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, God, thank you for being all that you have been. Thank you for being all that you are, and thank you for all that you will be in the future. God, we know that you've been watching over us since before we came onto this planet. We were in our mother's womb. You had your eye on us. You had best intentions for us, and you've been caring about us ever since. Oh God, right now I ask that you would open us up to hear what you have to say. Father, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. Your grace has saved me. I am what you made me. I will share what you gave me. Let this word find fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people and produce fruit that you can be proud of. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's summertime at the local pool. A child stands on the ledge of the water, uncertain, unsure, and honestly afraid. He sees other kids in the water. It's scorching outside, and he would love to feel the refreshment of the cool water on his skin. But there's a couple of problems. This is his first time at the pool, and he can't swim. A man nearby notices his dilemma, and he offers his assistance. Now, it is a man who is 6'2" and rippling with muscles, and because of his height, he is only waist deep in this water. With beads of water running down his strong, secure frame, he reaches out to the child and he says, "Jump, and I'll catch you." The child would absolutely love to, but hesitancy fills his mind as he negotiates several questions. What if he can't jump far enough? What if the man doesn't catch him? Should he just go sit back down? He is paralyzed by his own fear. This scenario possibly plays out thousands of times at bodies of water across the world. This dilemma, this situation, this choice. Now, for those of us who have already overcome this challenge, it's a no-brainer now, and you're thinking, just jump in already. But think about the very first time you were standing at that water's edge. Do you remember the anxiety and the nervousness? Do you remember the hesitancy and the fear? That was a choice that you had to make that was staring you right in your face between moving forward or backing off. And over the course of life, my brothers and sisters, you have before and will continue to find yourself in that exact same place of choice. Now, the dilemma has definitely changed. You're not a little kid anymore. You're not standing on the edge of a pool. But some of the circumstances that will come your way may be some financial decisions, some family struggles, or even some personal tests of your integrity that nobody else even knows about. On one hand, you can see the benefit of moving forward. You can see the blessing in overcoming the challenge, but on the other hand, this thing has you scared on levels that you can't even explain. What do you do? The purpose of this message is to equip and empower you for each and every time that you find yourself at this place. When you are restricted by fear, but you should respond in faith, I pray that this message will help you to make the right choice. So for a few moments today, let us discuss the thought, how to choose faith over fear. How to choose faith over fear. Now, before we get deep into the message, we have to come up with the definition of faith. Let me give it to you. Faith is complete trust or confidence in something or someone. Complete trust or confidence in something or someone. Now, make no mistake this morning, we're talking about faith in God. We're not talking about faith in karma. We're not talking about faith in the universe. We're not talking about faith in science. We're not even talking about faith in yourself. We're talking about faith in God. The God that we're talking about, the one who was and is to come, God. The one who was in the beginning before the beginning began. God, the Alpha and the Omega. God, the one who created and sustains all in this world that we need to live. Are we clear on who it is we're talking about right now? Yeah, this is God. This is God. Now, 3 points that we're going to pull from this text. The first one is trust God's proclamation. Trust God's proclamation. Now, the verses that we're going through here, we've pulled excerpts out of Joshua chapters 3-4, but I got to let you know where we are right now. The Israelites have been wandering in the wilderness for the last 40 years. They got in trouble before, and because of their disobedience and their unbelief, God put the pause on their journey to the promised land. Now, at this point in time, Moses has died already. Joshua is leading the people. It is time for them to go into the promised land, but there's a couple of things they have to deal with. Number one, they have to cross the Jordan River. Number two, there are enemies on the other side of the Jordan River. Now, the text that we will deal with first is Joshua chapter 3, verses 5-13. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." Underline this next part. "This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." The Israelites are about to cross the Jordan River. Now, let me tell you something about this. This is not just an easy task. It's not like taking a couple of people across a bayou. The Jordan River is 10 feet deep and 100 feet wide. It has very strong currents. And at this time of year, it's flood season. So the water is even deeper and more fast and rushing than it normally would be. The Israelite camp has grown. It's no longer just 70 of Jacob's family members and Joseph's kinfolk. No, no. After all this time in Egypt and the time that they spent in the wilderness, their numbers have swollen to about 1 million people now. And when you got a group of people that big, you know not everybody is as functional as you need them to be. Somebody in the group got a bad hip. Somebody in the group is pregnant with twins and supposed to be on bed rest. Somebody else in the group done lost a foot from some tragic workers' comp injury. You know everybody ain't right. So this is a challenge. But the major part of this challenge is that there are some enemies on the other side of the river that they have to face. And these enemies are not brand new. On the other side of the river, if we take it back to Numbers for a second, Moses was in charge. They were on their way to the promised land. Moses picked 12 spies to go into the promised land, see what they saw, come back, let us know about it. However, two of them did the assignment. 10 of them didn't. 10 of them came back with an opinion and told everybody, "We can't take the land. The people out there are too strong." Nobody asked them to do that. But that message spread throughout the entire Israelite population. And God said, "No, thank you. You will not go into the promised land. Stay put and die off in this wilderness." These enemies that they have to face are the descendants of the very same ones that those spies reported on. But regardless of all of this, they are to trust God's word. He tells them what to do to cross on dry land, and at the same time gives them assurance that they will be victorious. Now, my brothers and sisters, this is what you must do when faced with your challenges. Trust God's word. If he said it, it is absolutely true. So trust God's proclamation. Now, part of trusting what God says is actually knowing what he says. Now, the Israelites at this time are listening to Joshua, who spoke directly to God. And they were trusting in what God said to Joshua. This book was written by several people over several hundred years that spoke directly to God. If you want to know what God says, read your Bible. Now, I got to be honest with you. When I first started reading my Bible, I was surprised by some of the stuff that was in it. But even more so, I was surprised by the stuff that was not. Because there's some things that people have been quoting all my life that sounded like scripture, and it actually wasn't. Okay, finish this one for me. The Lord takes care of babies and... That ain't in the Bible. Nowhere. Ain't nowhere in there. Finish this next one for me. Cleanliness is next to... That ain't in the Bible. Nowhere. Yeah, I don't know if it was supposed to be written in the book of Ajax or Comet, but it's not in there. Nowhere. Yeah. So you got to watch out for what's not in the Word. Now, the second part, the other part, you have to know what God said to trust it, but you actually have to act on what God said to trust it as well. When you believe a certain thing, it makes you behave a certain way. You can know something mentally, but to trust it, you have to move physically. You can have a belief internally, but unless there is some external motion going on, it doesn't make difference. Trust and confidence should stimulate action and behavior. There is a limited benefit to faith unless action accompanies it. Now, y'all know this one, too. This is in the Bible. Faith without works is... Amen. James said, do not just be hearers of the word, but... When you have faith, which is a noun that is present in your head and your heart, it should stimulate some verbs by your body. There should be some moving happening. There should be some serving happening. There should be some overcoming. There should be some acquiring. There should be some growing. Action should accompany this faith. Now let us remember the character of the God in whose word we are to trust. Numbers 23 and 19. Let's read it together. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Throughout the course of human history, if God said it, it was so. Right now, if God says it, it is so. And throughout all eternity, whatever God will say will also be so. Trust God's proclamation. Now, number two, to choose faith over fear, you must trust God's perspective. You must trust God's perspective. Now, let's get directly into the scripture. Joshua chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Now there's a couple of things to point out here in trusting God's perspective. The first thing, God told the priest to step into the water first, and then he would stop the river's flow. That was a move that God wanted them to make in faith before he delivered on his part. Now, let's be honest. What's our usual situation? We want God to deliver first, and then we make a move. But God says it wouldn't be called faith if I delivered up front. And let's be honest. Who's got bad credit in this deal, us or him? Who's the one that can't be trusted? Yeah. Now, the other part of this, the water was cut off, but in a completely different town. They were crossing over the Jordan near Jericho. The water was cut off at a place called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. They could not see where the water was stopped. They just knew that it stopped. Your ability to see how God can bless you does not determine God's ability to do so. Just because you can't see it or you don't get it, that doesn't mean that God can't do it. God sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the exact same time. You, however, have a very limited view. There's a movie clip that we're going to look at. In this movie clip, there's a football coach and a football player. And the coach is trying to get the player to see something specifically. Run the clip.
It's not even funny, dude.
So, coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he got it.
There you go. Show me good effort. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. Keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's so hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone.
Coach had to teach that boy a lesson. But the first thing he did was gave him a blindfold. Because he needed him not just to trust in what he could see. His limited perspective was not accurate when it came to all that was actually possible. And God is making the same point to you right now. Don't get so caught up in your limited perspective that you miss the limitless possibilities of God. What you can see is usually way too small when it comes to God. Scripture supports this. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. You must trust God's perspective. Now, number three, if you are to choose faith over fear, trust God's past performance in your present predicament. Trust God's past performance in your present predicament. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial. Circle that word, memorial, to the people of Israel forever. Now, at this point in time, the Israelites had been through a lot with God. The Israelites had gotten water from a rock. They'd gotten manna from heaven, and they got quail that popped up out of nowhere. Now, because of all that they had dealt with before, you think that they would have the utmost confidence for whatever it is they go through next. However, the Israelites had a problem. Now, this is not actually the first time that they needed to go through a body of water while an enemy was nearby. Anybody remember the Red Sea? Same scenario, but different details. The last go around, when they faced the Red Sea, the Egyptians were pursuing them from behind. Now that they're at the Jordan River, the enemy is in front of them. Previously, in dealing with the Red Sea, God used the water to take care of their enemies. The Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea. But this time, God used the water as a sign to let them know he's with them as they take care of their enemies on the other side of the water. Now, just because the circumstances look a little different, that doesn't mean that God suddenly has changed. If this is what he did before, the fact is he will do it again. And that should give us confidence when we face our next challenge. But I'm going to tell you something. The Israelites had a problem. Their long-term memory was trash. They didn't remember nothing. The further away from the miracle they got, the less they remembered it. So God did something about it this time. The memorial that they had to set up. The purpose of a memorial is to stress the significance of whatever is to be remembered. If you're having a memorial for a person, you are celebrating and remembering the significance of their life. If you have a memorial for an event, you are celebrating the significance of whatever occurred at that time. God told the Israelites to set up a memorial this time so that they wouldn't forget what he's already done on the next time. Brothers and sisters, I got to be honest with y'all. The Israelites are not the only ones with that problem. Our long-term memory gets shaky as well. And I believe that we need a tool, a memorial, like the Israelites had also. Now, we get so caught up a lot of times in what we want God to do presently that we forget what he did previously. And if you pay attention to it, I actually want you to think back. Because you have absolutely no instances in your lifetime where God dropped you off in deep water and let you drown. You have absolutely no times in your life where you can say God left you hanging and did not come through. The choir just got done singing that song, Thank You. It could have been me, but it wasn't. Could have been outdoors with no clothes, but you're sitting here clothed and in your right mind right now. Now, the evidence that you actually do have, if you look back over the course of your life, You can say each and every time that you had a challenge, God came through. Every single time, God came through. Now, maybe he didn't handle the situation like you wanted him to handle it. Maybe he didn't take your advice on how you thought he should have fixed it. But God took care of it each and every time. And I submit to you right now, brothers and sisters, in choosing faith over fear, you need to remember those times. Now, on your outline, there is something that says prayer log. I'm going to tell you what that's about. That is a challenge that I'm offering, extending to each and every one of you that I heard about from Minister Ron Bell. He said there was a Bible study group that he used to meet up with. And what they did is they started recording, writing down their prayer requests and the dates that they made them. But they also started doing something that was kind of unique. Whenever God answered the prayer, they would write down when he answered it and what he did. So what they literally started having, prayer request, prayer response. What we asked for, what he gave. What we were going through, how he delivered. And they say at one point in the study group, they got together and started going down this list. And they didn't get to about number three because they started shouting right there in Bible study. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to remember what God has done. Joshua 21 and 45. This is the character of the God we serve. Not a single one of all of the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. Jeremiah 32 and 27 says this, I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? We know the answer to that question. Absolutely not. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. But Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. Trust in God's past performance in your present predicament. So the little boy does it. He musters up his courage and he jumps in the water. He feels the rush of the cool water on his skin and the sense of accomplishment that comes with overcoming his fear. Now, this kid unknowingly has learned a valuable lesson about trust as well. The man that offered his help to the child was not just a random swimmer. It was the boy's own father. And a bond has been strengthened between these two that will bless the child for the rest of his life. The sense of accomplishment that is experienced by both of them is overwhelming. And the experience of adulation by the child is more than he ever could have imagined. But what if he had not jumped? What if he had allowed fear to dominate his mind and restrict his actions? What all would he have missed out on? Brothers and sisters, my question to you is, how often have you chosen fear over faith? You see, fear and faith are opposites of the spectrum. Fear is not of God. Fear will rob you of your dreams, and fear will keep you in a self-imposed prison as long as you allow it to. Faith, on the other hand, is absolutely from God. Faith will set you free, and faith will bless your life. These challenges that we face are opportunities to exercise one or the other. And there's a book that I read recently called The Obstacle is the Way. I read the book, I heard about it from a friend of mine, and I passed it on to one of my sons. He's reading it right now. Now, I've had my boys read books throughout the course of the year, so they're on about their third or fourth book right now. But the one who's reading that one came to me and said, this is the best book you have given me so far. I'm like, my bad for not putting it in the rotation sooner. Now, what the book talks about, it actually says that meeting the challenge of the big obstacle that's in your path is exactly what you need to become the person who can accomplish the goals. The very thing that is standing in your way is the path that you need to take to get where God wants to put you. Now, the book of James says the exact same thing. It says, count it joy when you undergo various trials, because the working out of what's going on through these trials will produce something in you that would not otherwise be there. These challenges that we face, these are opportunities to grow and another chance for God to show himself strong. So, it may come across right now as you think back to all the challenges you passed up on, the ones you didn't accept, the ones you didn't go at. It may feel like bad news. But let me give you some good news right now. You're going to get another chance to do it all over again. Because these challenges are not going to stop coming your way. So the next time that you're at the edge of the pool and you're wrestling with what you are going to do, trust God's proclamation, trust God's perspective, and trust God's past performance in choosing faith over fear. And more than anything, more than anything, more than anything, remember that you are not in this alone. Because the one and only God Almighty, your heavenly Father, is already standing in the middle of your situation with arms outstretched saying, jump in and I will catch you. The final scripture I will leave you with is Psalms 56, verses 3 through 4. Let's read it together. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? Let's thank God for his word. Yeah. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you for all that our eyes have seen and all that our ears have heard thus far. Father, I thank you for the seed that was planted in the hearts that you had wide open. God, I ask that you would let that fruit continue to be something that you can look at and say, job well done. Father, continue to bless our lives, continue to make us over, continue to grow us as only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.